When I was 30 years old, I was broke. I had everything I owned in the back of my car. I rented a small apartment. I was living on credit cards and minimum payments. And I was living with rented furniture. It was the middle of a cold winter. It was about 35 degrees below zero outside. So I couldn't go outside. I wasn't even dressed for it. So I had a lot of time. I sat there in this little apartment of mine. I didn't even have a television set. Terrible thought. And I sat and looked at my life, and it was a turning point for me. I went through the goal-setting exercise, or something similar to it, that you've just done, and then I realized that I had a breakthrough. And the breakthrough was that any system for attaining goals is better than no system at all. And all of my life, I had taken a shot here and a shot there and a run here and a run there, and I tried this and I tried that. And I began to put together a blueprint. And I put together a blueprint, and my life changed. Within that year, I accomplished more than I'd accomplished in the previous five. In the next 5 years, I accomplished more than I did in that year, and it just went on and on. And what I found is that the simplest of all principles are usually the truest, and the truest of all principles are usually the simplest. In fact, I learned, as they say, God must have loved the common people because he made so many of them. And there are only ordinary people like ourselves. We cannot get our minds around complex, sophisticated theories. We function the very best on very simple, straightforward ideas. So what I've done is I've put together a goal-setting process of simple, straightforward ideas that I will share with you now. And this process is something that you can run your goals through. You can strain them through. You can compare them against. You can ask these questions. If you miss any one of these, by the way, it can be fatal to your goals. If you have all 12 of them, you can accomplish virtually anything. Virtually anything. And here they are. It says here, there are four major obstacles to goal setting. Because everybody's heard about goal setting all their lives, why is it that everybody doesn't have goals? Here they are. A is that people don't realize the importance of goals. If you've been brought up in a family where goals were not constantly emphasized, if you associate with people who don't talk about and work on goals all the time, if you're in an environment where your bosses don't encourage you to set goals for every part of your work life, you can actually drift along not even aware that goals are central to success in life. Now, the second reason that people don't set goals is people don't know how. Remember I said the greatest danger that you can have is to think you know how when you don't know how at all? People think, well, you just write down a list of what you want to do. Well, that's helpful, but it's not enough. If it was enough, everybody would be rich and successful. The fact is that most people don't know how, and I went back to school, to university in my 30s. I got a graduate degree in business, and I can tell you this, in 15, 16, 17 years of schooling, they'll never give you an hour's worth of instruction on goal setting. And I believe that we should be teaching goal setting to young people in the first grade, second grade, third grade. There should be goal setting semesters in college. There should be degrees in goal setting. Because I have had lots of people, both here and in other seminars, say that this material is more important than my 4 years of university. And you know something? They're right. Because this will do more to assure their success if they apply it than what they learned in university, because much of what they learned in university will be useless for the rest of their lives. But goal setting will be central to everything they do. The third reason, C, is the fear of rejection, of criticism. People are afraid to set goals because when they set goals as children, people rained on their parade, insulted them, made fun of them, joked with them, and made them feel bad when they didn't accomplish them. So here's the key to goal setting. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. When you set goals, don't tell anybody. The only people you discuss your goals with are the people like people who are here, who also have goals, who will encourage you with your goals and will tell you that your goals are attainable and tell you that you can do it and encourage you to believe it. D is fear of failure. Fear of failure is actually the biggest reason of all. Fear of failure is the number one reason for failure in adult life, is we don't like to feel that we failed. We don't like to feel low self-esteem. So we very carefully protect ourselves from these feelings of low self-esteem. And how do we do that? We don't set any goals at all. We sabotage ourselves unconsciously by not setting goals for ourselves so we can't fail. But of course, if you don't set goals for yourself, you can't succeed either. Think about that. Okay, so two, a systematic process or blueprint for goal setting will increase your likelihood of achieving goals by about 1,000%, by 10 times. I'm not exaggerating. I've tested and worked with this for more than 2 decades, and I can tell you that a systematic process will so dramatically increase your level of attainment as to be phenomenal. So A, as I mentioned earlier, any plan is better than no plan. Any plan is better than no plan. The great tragedy, as we know, is that failing to plan means planning to fail. Most people have no plan at all. And B, the ability to set goals and to make plans for their accomplishment is the master skill of success. It's the master skill. It's the core skill that if you master this skill, your life will be tremendous. And if you master all other skills but this, your life will be diminished to that degree. It's like if you learn to do everything in the world but never learn to drive. Learn to do everything in the world but never learn to use a telephone. Doesn't mean that you can't function. It just means that your life will be diminished dramatically compared to what it could be. Now, three is desire, and this is where we start. Desire is the first of the 12 points. Desire is the only real limit to your abilities. The only question you ever have to ask is, how badly do you want it? If you want it badly enough, the key word for success is hungry. How hungry are you? Complacency is a terrible, terrible enemy. Complacency, the comfort zone, selling ourselves short, settling for less, terrible enemies. But desire is the factor. What do you want? And here are the two keys with regard to desire. A, it must be personal. You cannot want a goal for someone else. You can't say, I want an increase in pay, which is wanting your boss to do something for you. You can't say, I want someone to love me. People come up to me and say, well, how do I get this person to love me and want to marry me? I said, you cannot set a goal for another person. And the very fact that you have to ask me is proof enough that this is the wrong person for you. Because if the person does not like you, love you, want you spontaneously, chances are very, very slim that it's ever going to develop into a worthwhile relationship. I mean, let's just face reality, the reality principle. People say, I want to be happy with so-and-so. No, you want to be happy. You want to be in a perfect relationship. So what you do is you describe your perfect relationship. Any of you who are single, by the way, and for those of you who are thinking of being single, the way to finding the perfect relationship is very simple, is you use this process. You sit down and you make a list of the perfect person, as though you were going to hire someone to run your company. And you make a list of the perfect person and you describe them in detail. Height, weight, size, education, experience, personality, background, temperament, interest, enthusiasm, leisure time, activities, everything. Just write down everything that you want in the perfect person. The reason why people don't find the perfect person is that they wouldn't recognize them if they fell out of a building on top of them. But I have given this exercise to countless people when they were single, and they've been astonished at how fast they met the perfect person. Sometimes they found the perfect person was a coworker. Sometimes they found it was someone that they'd known for a long time. But the very act of crystallizing it by writing it down, by deciding what you want, not what anybody else wants, not what you should want, not what your parents think is good for you, but what you really want, and writing it down, activates this force field of attraction and starts to draw that person into your life. Same with business relationships. Same with hiring the best people. It's absolutely amazing. So your goals must be personal. There must be something that you want. And B, they must be burning, intense, passionate. A major definite purpose is something that you do not have to make yourself work on. You can hardly wait to work on it. You cannot get up early enough. In fact, when you are working on your major definite purpose, there's a measure. And you know what it is? You become very impatient with the physical need of having to sleep. It makes you impatient. So you're always structuring your time so that you are sleeping the amount that you need, but only that, because you want to get up and get going. You become impatient with television, by the way. You just lose patience with television. You find it irritating because you know it's not helping move towards something that's important to you. You find that your friendships change. You find that friendships that you have will diminish and die away because they are useless wastes of your time. The people are shallow. They don't read. They have nothing to say. They have the same things to say every time you meet them, the same problems, the same crummy lives. You know, there's, and most of the time they're negative. they complain all the time, and you find that you no longer have time for these people. When you start to get excited about something that you are excited about, burning desire, something that you're in love with, you find that all of your other tastes and appetites change as well. Number four is belief. Now, belief is very important. It's so important. Belief means that you need to develop an absolute conviction that your goal is possible. I got up this morning, and I do my reading every morning, as I recommend to you. And one of the things I read this morning, which I read 1,000 times, is that the only limitation on what you can accomplish is this absolute intense conviction that you have that it's possible for you. That's the only thing that holds us back. Remember doubt, wondering, can I, oh, geez, I don't know. And what about poor me, woo-woo, boo-hoo, bee-bee, shut up. You know, when you are absolutely crystal clear, when you have an attitude of confident expectation, when you absolutely know you can do it if you keep on long enough, then you certainly will. Nothing will stop you. So belief is absolutely important. And A, the rule about beliefs is your beliefs become your realities. As William James of Harvard said, belief creates the actual fact. If you absolutely believe it, you will walk, talk, think, feel, behave, and get results consistent with your beliefs. And how can you tell what your innermost beliefs and convictions are? By what you say or wish or hope or intend, or by what you do? What you do is the only measure. But there is a principle of reversibility, remember. If you act exactly as you would act, if you're absolutely convinced that something was possible for you, the action itself creates the conviction. It's a principle of reversibility. In other words, if you feel confident, you act confident. But if you don't feel confident, act confident, and it will cause you to feel confident. This is, again, one of the great breakthroughs in human thought, is that we act our way into feeling by doing the things consistent with the feelings and beliefs that we would like to have. B is make your goals believable. Make your goals achievable. When I started off with goal setting, I got so excited I could hardly wait. I was running around in circles. And so I took my income, which at that time was about $50,000 a year, and I set a goal for the next year of $400,000. Wow, boom, going to break the bank at Monte Carlo. And you know what I found happened? Nothing. It's almost like everything just stopped, came to a halt. I said, what's going on? I worked for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. I walked, I visualized, I affirmed, I wrote it, rewrote it, nothing happened. And then I realized that I couldn't get my mind around that kind of income. It was 8 times more than I'd ever earned in my entire life, and $50,000 a year was more than I'd ever earned in my life up to that time. It was so big that it was actually a demotivator. So what we have found is the goals that are motivational are incremental goals. They're just as far as you can see, just a little bit beyond your own capacities today, and that's what motivates you. It's sort of like holding out something to a dog, and the dog goes after it, you know, you hold out something. But if you threw it across the room or put it on the other side of the room, the dog wouldn't move. So therefore, you motivate yourself by setting goals that are just a little bit beyond where you are today until you get the confidence that you can set even bigger goals. So what I did is I took my goal, and from $50,000, I set a goal of $75,000. What we have found in income, by the way, is for about 40% to 50% income increase is about as high as you can go in terms of believability. Beyond that, it's too much. Mostly you can't get your mind around it. But below that, and some people need to start at 10%. Increase your income 10%. Some people say, well, it wouldn't work for me because of this or that or the other thing. Don't worry about it. Just set a small increment, and when you achieve that, set another small increment. And when you achieve that, another and another and another. And you'll be amazed at what happens. You'll be amazed. Okay, number five is write it down. Write it down. This is the turning point, by the way. When you write it down, you crystallize it on paper. Because what happens between the brain and the hand is that when you write it down, you start to believe it more. Before it's written down, it's kind of a fantasy. When you write it down, it takes on a form of its own. You can fold it up, you can mail it, you can send it away, you can put it on a plaque. It's real, it's tangible, you can touch it. But also, when you begin to believe that it's possible for you, your desire intensifies, and you become even more excited about the possibility by the very act of writing it down. There's a trite little saying, by the way, that says, feeling listless, make a list. Did you notice how exciting it is just to write down goals? Wasn't that an enjoyable exercise? Doesn't it give you a bit of a high? It's kind of exciting, stimulating. Do you notice how many people had to run and go to the bathroom after that exercise? This room cleared out like there was a bomb scare. Because writing down goals, like the way we write them down, is very exciting. Just as drinking too much coffee is exciting, but who knows which caused which. All right. A, only 3% of Americans have written goals. Only 3% of Americans have written goals. And you know something? Everybody works for them. Everybody works for people who have written goals. People say, well, geez, I wish my life was better. Show me your written goals. Well, you don't have any written goals. Then don't tell me you wish your life was better, because you're lying to me and you're lying to yourself, because you really don't want to improve your life if you've been told 1,000 times you've got to have written goals and you don't have any. Just go away. I don't mean to be harsh, but I'm trying to drive a point home. The fact is that if you want to start a new business, the very first thing that every single person will tell you is write down a business plan. Inc. magazine did a study of 100 business startups and tracked them for a couple of years. And they found that 50 of them, the goal was 50 had started off with business plans, 50 of them started off with excitement, enthusiasm, but no business plans. After a year or 2 years, the ones with business plans were doing considerably better. Many of the ones without business plans had already gone broke. So they said, isn't that interesting? Because we hear about it all the time. You're supposed to have a business plan for yourself, your life, your business, your work, and so on. But here's some proof. So they went and they asked the people who had done the business plans how they went about it. Some of them spent 6 weeks of every year writing a new business plan. They didn't all sit down for 6 weeks in a room, but they started, and over a period of time, they began to gather information and write it and compare and set budgets, and they went over every detail of the business and every product or service and came up with a new, sometimes 100, 200-page business plan. They said, now, how closely did you run your business based on the business plan? Here's what they said. Most of them said, well, golly, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed because we hardly even looked at it again for the rest of the year. We just went on with the business, and every so often we'd review it. So what was the benefit of the business plan? And do you know what it was? This is a breakthrough. The benefit of the business plan is it forced them to think through and develop clarity on every key part of the business before they began the year. As a result, the decisions they made were far better and far more accurate. They wasted far less time. They made far more money. They wasted far less money because the business plan forced them to think through all the critical issues. That's what writing your goals down does. It forces you to think it through, which makes you far more precise. It's like you've heard of the hunter that goes out to the edge of the woods with his rifle and goes, blam, 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 blam. And says, boy, I sure hope something good runs into that. People who are living their lives without goals are shooting themselves off at life and certainly hoping something good runs into it. So B, make it clear, make it specific, make it objective, and make it measurable. Your major definite purpose, by the way, should be something that you intensely desire, should be something you absolutely believe is possible, and should be something that you write down and make measurable. You can't hit a target you can't see. You can't achieve a goal that's not measurable and attainable. So number 6 is determine all the reasons why you want the goal. Remember what Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, said, a man can bear any what if he has a big enough why. If you want it badly enough, you can overcome anything. And that's the real test. You see, the test of working toward a goal is not when things are going along just sweet and hunky-dory. The test of a goal is when everything goes to hell in a handbasket, when the world falls apart, when you hit the inevitable crisis after crisis after crisis, and everything that you expected takes 2 or 3 times longer, costs 2 or 3 times as much, and you are assaulted on all sides, and everybody you depended upon lets you down, and you're there trying to drain the swamp, but you find yourself up to your you-know-what in alligators, and that's when you have the testing time. This is the testing time. This is nature's way of saying, okay, big guy, how serious are you? Because I'm going to give you one more kick and see if you still hang in there. And then another kick See, you know, put your head under the water. Let's see if you really want it. That's the proof. That's the test. And the more reasons you have why, the better it is. You know, if you risk everything, and this is what they found, people who only risk a little bit will usually quit and write off their losses. People who risk everything will stay in there and succeed greatly. And many of the most successful people are people who staked it all and then went for it. And as a result, they wouldn't quit because they burned their bridges behind them. A, reasons are the fuel in the furnace of achievement. Reasons are the fuel in the furnace of achievement. The more reasons you have, if you say, I want to be successful so I can, you know, pay off my credit cards and get a better car and, you know, get some new clothes and go out for dinner, well, those are little reasons. Those are picky reasons. But if you want to be successful because you have 10 or 15 or 20 or 50 or 100 or 300 things you want to do with your success, you will be like a force of nature. You will be irresistible. You will be like a flash flood. You will wash everything in front of you if you have lots of reasons. Keep loading reasons. I have two friends who did this, by the way. They started off in real estate, and they started off at the bottom of the ladder. And both of them got spiral notebooks, and they began to write down all the things they were going to have when they were successful. And they ended up with 2 and 3 and 4 and 500 things. Every day they'd go through the paper at night and they'd say, stereo set, new furniture, new home, apartment, trip to the Caribbean, new car, motorhome, boat, airplane, vacation cabin, everything they saw anybody had, they wrote it down, they're going to have it as well. Now, they didn't get them all, but they sure got a lot of them, I can tell you. They were so irrepressible, you could not stop them because they had so many reasons. B is, the more reasons you have, the greater is your level of motivation. You've heard the famous story of Socrates, when Socrates was the leading philosopher of Athens, and people would come to him to study philosophy, and Socrates had what is called the Peripatetic School. It was the first school where people walked. He had actually no building. They walked and talked and sat around and chatted and philosophized and asked questions. Plato studied under Socrates as a student for something like 18 years before going off and starting his own school. Well, in the peripatetic method, people would come up and say, I would like to study philosophy, which was really a new field. One day a young man came up and said, I want to be a philosopher. What do I have to do to be a philosopher? Please tell me. He said, well, he said, you sure you want to be a philosopher? It takes many years of thinking and so on. Doesn't pay well. He said, well, yes, I know I want to be a philosopher. Well, how badly? Really badly. Really? He said. And he took him. He said, come with me. I want to show you something. And they were walking by a lake. And he took the young man by the arm. And Socrates was a very burly man. Took them by the arm and they walked into the lake. Just sort of strolled into the lake. You sure you want to be a philosopher? Yes, I do. They're walking into this lake and the water is getting deeper and deeper. And when it got to about this height, Socrates then suddenly took him and plunged his head under the water and held it down. And the young man thought, well, this was just something that they did, so he didn't struggle or anything. And then Socrates held him down there. The young man realized he wasn't about to let him up. And he started to panic, and he started to squirm, and he started to burble, and he started to kick, and he started to become absolutely petrified and terrified. And finally, at the last moment, Socrates pulled him up above the water. And he said, what were you thinking about just now? He said, oxygen. All I was thinking about was breathing. He said, when you want philosophy as much as you wanted oxygen, then you will be a philosopher and not until. When you want your goals the same way, when you want your goals so badly that's all you think about only that goal, you think about achieving only that goal, when you want it that badly, you will achieve it. There's nothing that will stop you. Number 7 is analyze your starting position. Analyze your starting position. Where are you starting from? Take stock of your current situation and be honest. I had a woman come up to me at my seminar in Baltimore and she said, well, I've listened to this and I talked just briefly about goals. I've decided I'm going to be a millionaire in 1 year. I said, well, that's incredible. That's wonderful. Great. I mean, you can achieve almost anything if it's realistic. I said, what sort of work are you doing now? She said, well, I just got fired. From a sales job, because I wasn't doing very well. And I said, really? And so how much are you starting off with something? She said, no, I'm broke. I don't have any money. I said, so you're broke and unemployed and you're going to be a millionaire in a year. Yes, that's my goal, she said. Well, I don't think she needed goals. I think she needed counseling. because her goal was totally unrealistic. You must analyze where you're starting from and realize it's taken you your whole year to get here. Remember the reality principle. What's the reality? What is the reality? If you want to lose weight, what do? You get on the scales and you weigh yourself and you honestly admit, this is where I am. If you want to be fit, you go down and you take a fitness test. If you want to become financially independent, you do an analysis of what you're truly worth. And you don't give yourself bonus points for your scrapbooks from high school. This is worth at least $10,000 because I love it, you know. So, A is practice the reality principle. Remember, the more honest you are, when I do a financial statement for myself, by the way, you have to be very honest because the bank is not going to take any prisoners. They're going to want to know exactly why you placed this dollar value on this particular asset. Could you sell it in the marketplace for this amount of money today? And if you couldn't, it's not an asset. So B is determine how far you have to go. Determine how far you have to go. How far is it? It may be a long way, but it doesn't matter. But know clearly where you're starting from. And number eight, now you know this, number eight is set a deadline. Set a deadline. A goal without a deadline is merely a fantasy. A goal is a dream with a deadline. And A, what we know is that a deadline acts as a forcing system. It actually has a power in your subconscious mind. When I gave you that exercise, write down 10 goals that you want to accomplish in the next 12 months. Good. Your subconscious mind says, okay, I got it. Right on, snap to, and goes to work to bring those goals into your world within 12 months. And we'll bring most of them there. The two that you don't accomplish, by the way, are either too big for a 12-month goal, or by the end of 12 months, you'll find that you don't really care about them that much. You may have almost taken them off your mental list. You wrote them down at the time, but in the fullness of time, they weren't that important. So set a deadline as a forcing system, because what this does is it activates your mental powers. If you don't put a deadline, what happens is you don't seem to have any thrust. You say, well, I want to make a lot of money someday. Oh, great. What's one of the greatest enemies of success? The thief of time, the thief of life? Procrastination. If you don't have a deadline, you procrastinate. You keep putting it off. And make your deadlines tight. So B is set sub-deadlines, weekly, monthly. Don't say, well, I want to earn so-and-so amount of money by the end of the year. I'll start in December. No, start tomorrow. Set sub-deadlines. Tighten it up. The more deadlines you have, the more likely you are you will achieve them. Now, my friend Don Hudson says there's no such thing as unrealistic goals. They're merely unrealistic deadlines. So a person says, well, what if you set a goal and you don't achieve your goal by the deadline? It's just a guesstimate that enables you to focus. You say, we'll be at your house at 8 o'clock. That's your focus. You may get there at 5, 2, or 5 after, but you've got a deadline. You've got to focus. We cannot live without deadlines. Number 9 is identify the obstacles you will have to overcome. Now, this is very important because with regard to obstacles, there's always something that stands between you and your goal. The rule is if there are no obstacles, it is not a goal. It's merely an activity. You know, lunch. What are the obstacles between here and lunch? There are no obstacles. We go for lunch at 12:15. That's an activity. So therefore, if there are no obstacles, there are no goals. And here's the flip side. Where great, great goals can be attained, great obstacles exist. Where great attainments are possible, great obstacles exist. And what do we know about obstacles? A is you must be clear. An obstacle, 80% of your obstacles will be internal. 80% of your obstacles are within yourself. Now, I could spend half a day talking about this principle and how it works, but safe to say that 80% of the reasons you're not where you want to go is because of you. It's not because of the world, and especially it's not because of lack of opportunities, because we have never had more opportunities for you to achieve more goals of more different kinds in history than right now in our society. This is the boomiest time in the history of America, in the history of the world, right now, today, 1997. Fortune magazine predicts we may have 5 more years of prosperity. That's as far as they can project. And everybody with half a brain is predicting a 10,000-point Dow and predicting that there will be 3 times as many self-made millionaires in America in 10 years than there are today. And for those of you from California, you should be happy to know that the state in the United States that has the most self-made millionaires is California. And it's producing them at a faster rate than any other state in the country. And so when people say, well, you know, There's so many opportunities, it's unbelievable. So your obstacles are not on the outside, your obstacles are on the inside. And B, identify your rock, your major obstacle that has fallen over your path on the way to the goal, and decide how to remove it. Remember, if you look at your goals, not only are 80% of your goals internal, but 80% of the obstacles, 80% of the reasons you're not achieving your goal are contained in a single obstacle. It's usually a lack of skill, maybe a lack of knowledge, maybe you're in the wrong place, maybe you're with the wrong people, maybe it's a lack of discipline, but there's usually just one big thing that you have to do. Did anybody see that movie, City Slickers? And Curly, played by Jack Palance, and he says, "There's life is just one thing, just one big thing." Remember that? And Curly asks him what it is. Remember what he says? "Nobody knows." You know, but it's that one thing. Well, there's one big obstacle that's holding you back. And if you don't know what it is, ask your friends, ask your associates. Sit in the quiet of your room and look into yourself and be as honest as you can be. Hold your own feet to the fire. Be absolutely unforgiving with yourself and ask, what is it in me that's holding me back? And if you can deal with that, sometimes you can make more progress in a year than the average person would in 10 years. Number 10, identify the additional knowledge and skills that you'll need to achieve your goals. You know, of course, that whatever your level of knowledge and skills is today, it's rapidly becoming obsolete and it has to be replaced and upgraded quickly. To accomplish more than you're accomplishing today, you've got to be better than you're accomplishing today. And here is A, and this is one of the greatest questions I've ever learned. I love this question. Here it is what one skill, if you developed it and became excellent at it, what one skill would have the greatest positive impact on your life? What one skill? This is a great question. Everybody must know the answer to this question. What one skill in your current work, if you developed it and became absolutely excellent at it consistently over time, would have the greatest positive impact on your career? And you know, the great thing about this question is you know the answer. You know what it is. You say, "Woohoo, if I was good at that, I'd save myself years of hard work." And here's something else. It's probably something you don't like. It's probably something that's scary for you. It's probably something you're uncomfortable at. It moves you out of your comfort zone. I had a good friend who took a whole series of tests on what he should do. He sold his business. He had a good deal of money put aside. He wanted to do something else. And his friend, who was an industrial psychologist, administered all the tests and came back and said, "You know what you'd be best doing? You'd be best at adult training and giving seminars. That's what you'd be best at doing. You have a tremendous ability to organize and present material." He said, "My God," he said, "I'm terrified of public speaking." He said, "This doesn't do me any good for you to come back and tell me this. You know I hate public speaking. The very idea of standing up and speaking in front of people is scary to me." He said, "Just a second, Bill." He said, "Understand this. You asked me to tell you what you would really be good at. You didn't ask me to tell you what you would find fun and comfortable. Now, you can learn to become good at public speaking. Millions have. And if you do, you'll be an extraordinary success in your field because you're naturally talented in that area." And he went to work. He joined Toastmasters. He took a Dale Carnegie course. He practiced 6 months. He could speak with some comfort. After a year, he was doing good seminars. Within 2 years, one of the most successful people in his industry. Because what he found was the one area of excellence he had to develop to use all of his other talents, maybe something that scared him. But he said, "By gum, if that's the price I have to pay, I'll pay it." People say, "Geez, it'd take me a week, a month, a year, 2 years to learn that skill. I know what it is, but so what? So what? I'm sorry, did anybody give you a guarantee, a little warranty certificate when you came out of the womb and saying, here's your warranty, guarantee, life is going to be easy for you. There's going to be flowers all along the way." No. You know, one of the great pieces of advice was given by a man to his father when she was a little girl. She said, it changed her life. She was frustrated about poor people and injustice and so on. He said, "Honey, life is hard. Life has always been hard. Life will always be hard. You can make it easier, but life will never be easy. It'll always be hard. So don't expect things to be easy. Only no-hopers and thumbsuckers and people with no future expect things to be easy. If you expect things to be easy, you look for things to be easy. If you look for things to be easy, you'll never realize that to accomplish great things, you have to work hard. You really have to put in the seed if you want to get the harvest. So, Number B is, how can you acquire the knowledge and skills that you need? How can you acquire the knowledge and skills that you need? By the way, there's two forms of knowledge and skills. One form is knowledge and skill that you must have personally. The other is knowledge and skill you can hire and train and lease and rent and buy and so on. But there's some skills that you must have because they're central to your success. Number 11, identify the people, groups, and organizations whose cooperation you will require. Nobody does anything alone. Whose help you will require? A, who can help you the most? Who can help you more than anybody else? Who can help you the most to attain your goals? And B, what's in it for them? How can you earn their support? How can you deserve their support? What can you do to cause others whose help you need to want to help you? If you need to work long hours and you need your family's cooperation, then plan weekends, plan vacations, plan trips, and say, I'll work the long hours, but in return, we'll take these trips, we'll do these things, we'll have these things. In other words, get their cooperation. If you're dependent upon your customers buying in so large quantities from you, then you become so good at what you sell that you're an invaluable resource to your customers so that they will want to buy from you and buy more and recommend you to their friends. You know the song by Carly Simon? They just want to put in a nickel and get a dollar song. It's amazing how many people want to put in a nickel and get a dollar song. It's like Zig says, they want to go through the revolving door of life on somebody else's push. They want to get out before they put in. They want to get the stove. They say to the stove, give me warmth and then I'll put in some wood. It's not the way life works. So number 12, make a plan. Make a plan. Make a plan. Now what is a plan? Plan is a list of activities. It's a list of everything you'll have to do to achieve your goal. It's a list of what you want and when you want it and why you want it. It's a list of all the obstacles you'll have to overcome and the people whose help you need and the information and skills you'll have to get. And then you make a plan. And A, organize your list. You don't have to be an engineer to make a plan. You just make a list and then you organize the list. All successful people think on paper. All successful people are list makers. If anybody teases you because you're always making lists, good. It means you're bound for the top. You're on the high road. All successful people are always making lists. They list everything they have to do in a job. They list everything they have to do in a day. They list their weeks and their months. They list their goals. They make lists all the time. As a result, they accomplish 10 times as much as people who are trying to figure it out in their heads. Is that right?
Right.
All right. B is organize your list by chronology and sequence. What do you have to do first? What do you have to do second? What can you do later? What has to be done before something else has to be done? And so on. In other words, an organized list, an organized plan combined with a goal makes you powerful. It's like a double barrel of having two guns and pistols going against a person with a pea shooter. I mean, you can do remarkable things. Number 13, visualize. Visualize. This is the most powerful faculty you have, is the ability to imagine your goal as already created. See your goal as a reality every day. A, affirm your goal. If you want to earn $50,000 a year, then what you say is, I earn $50,000 a year. And visualize and see yourself earning $50,000 a year. See yourself doing the work that you would do to earn the money. See yourself driving the car you would drive. See yourself at the resorts you would attend or go to on your vacation. See yourself dining at the fine restaurants that you would dine at if you're earning this kind of money. And B, act as if. Act as if. This is one of the most powerful of all success principles, the act as if principle. Act as if. Get the feeling as if you'd already achieved the goal. How would you feel? Would you feel proud? Would you feel happy? Would you feel confident? Would you feel ecstatic? Would you feel joyous? Would you feel great about yourself? Would you have high self-esteem? How would you feel if you'd already attained the goal? If you can get the mental picture in your mind and combine it with the feeling, it drops into your subconscious mind and activates your superconscious mind and causes all kinds of things to happen for you. It's the most astonishing thing. Get the feeling. Get the feeling. How would you feel? Would you feel excited? Would you feel happy? Would you feel really highly energetic? Would you feel, wow, how would you feel if you achieved your goal? If you can imagine that feeling, create the feeling. If you can imagine the feeling over and over again, then you'll achieve it. Number 14 is back your goals and plans with persistence and determination. This is so important. 95% of the goals that you will set for yourself in life, according to the research, you will attain as long as you persist, as long as you become unstoppable. Because if you don't stop, you must attain your goals. The primary reason why people don't attain their goals is, first of all, they don't have them, and second of all, they stop. Can I give you a quick quiz? What is the average number of times that a person tries to attain a new goal before they quit? Three, four, five, one? One? Do you know what the average is? Less than one. Because most people will quit before they try the first time. They will hear these ideas, and they will quit before they try it even once. But serious people will try it 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. They confidently expect that if they keep on keeping on, they will succeed. And surprise, surprise, they do. And everybody tells them how lucky they are. A, your persistence is your measure of your belief in yourself. And here's the most important point. Is that every time you persist, your belief intensifies. When your belief intensifies, your desire intensifies. When your desire intensifies, your motivation intensifies, which makes you even more driven to persist in the attainment of your goals, which increases your self-esteem and your self-belief and your motivation and your desire, which causes you to persist even more. So your persistence is your measure of how much you believe it's possible. B, every act of persistence strengthens you and increases your ability to persist even more. Everything you do builds habits of success that lock in deeper and deeper and which ultimately guarantee your success. Remember, number 15, finally, there are no real limits on what you can accomplish except for the limits that you place on yourself. How do you become unstoppable? By refusing to stop.
This is the end of this disc. The program continues on the next CD.